Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning's scripture reading comes from the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. If you're following along among the Bibles under the bench, you'll find it on page 1037. Again, Galatians, chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. And the word of the Lord says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. See with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand."
Wonderful, thrilled to, oh, I can hear myself now. To have you with us. We're excited that you're here today to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Let's talk about a man who never said no. It's kind of a loaded statement. You see, it all depends on what we're talking about. And who we're talking about. And of course, the man that I have in mind is Jesus. Now, you might be sitting there saying to yourself, well, wait a minute. There were times in Jesus' life where he said no. As a matter of fact, you begin in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus is being tempted by the devil. We can count at least three times that Jesus said no to the devil. Jesus would say no to the Pharisees when they demanded that Jesus rebuke his disciples for singing his praises when he made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Jesus would tell Peter no on various occasions. "No, Peter, you will not have any part with me if you do not let me wash your feet." John chapter 13. "No, Peter. Put your sword away. It's God's will. The cross is a part of God's plan." Of course, there were times that Jesus taught his followers to say no. John chapter 8, verse 11 is one such occasion. The woman who was caught in adultery. He ends that discussion and that situation by telling her, "Say no to sin. Go and sin no more." Now that's a message for all of us. Go and sin no more. But I want you to know that there were numerous occasions in Jesus' life where he never said no. And those occasions involved Jesus serving others. Our scripture reading this morning comes to us, and in particular from Galatians in chapter 6 and verse 10. "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all, especially the household of faith." Church, I want you to know that Jesus did good to all. Without a doubt, Jesus was the most opportunistic man on the face of the earth. And this morning, we're going to turn over in our Bibles to Mark chapter 5, and we're going to look at some situations, some moments, some occasions in Jesus' life where he could have said no, but he didn't. Mark chapter 5 begins with an interesting image. Jesus and his disciples are on a boat. They have just crossed the Sea of Galilee, and they come to the region of the Gadarenes. There was a welcoming committee there to greet Jesus and his disciples. You read Matthew's account, and we see these parallel accounts in Matthew chapter 8 and Mark 5 and also in Luke 8, where Jesus is greeted by what I call, or who I call, Thank you. The nude dude of the Gadarenes. Now, you begin to read your Bible, and you read all three accounts, you begin to see this man had no clothes. He was quite the sight to see. He was demon-possessed. Matthew says he was extremely violent. No one could pass that way, on that road, where Jesus and his disciples were, down by the Sea of Galilee. It's off limits. His home wasn't a beachfront house. He lived in the tombs, in the mountains, in the caves. Night and day, he would scream out. He was a lunatic, crazy. He would cut himself with stones. Definitely not in his right mind. His encounter with Jesus was an interesting encounter. What have I to do with you, Jesus? In other words, what business do we have? Jesus asked him, you remember Jesus asking him who he was. Says Legion. Name is Legion. We're many. Now, that is referencing, you know, a legion is a unit in a Roman army of about 6,000 soldiers. So you try to capture this image in your mind. What I think is interesting when you read all three accounts of this story, he had a request of Jesus. I implore you, do not torment us. Do not send us into the abyss. That's Luke's account with regards to the abyss. 2 Peter, go back and read 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, where the angels had sinned and they were cast into hell. Isn't that interesting? I want you to stop and think about this just for a moment. The demons are asking Jesus, don't send us to hell. Now, on the other hand, I think it's kind of ironic. We like to go torment people, but don't torment me. Now, what does that tell you about hell? That hell is so bad that the demons don't want to be there. You think about it. We don't want to go to the abyss. You know, Jesus came up with the perfect solution. I have a win-win for everybody. You can go into that herd of swine, and the swine, those demons went into the swine, they ran over that cliff and down into the Sea of Galilee. What of our new dude of Gadara? You know, when you go back and you begin reading in Mark chapter 5 and you see the events as they transpire, with regards to this man, I'll begin in verse 18. Actually, I want to begin in verse 15. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed, had the legion. He was sitting and clothed in his right mind. Are you getting this? He is sitting, he is now clothed, he is in his right mind after his encounter with Christ. Now you would think, he has done us all a great favor. No one could pass this way. This was off limits. That crazy maniac, because of him, we could never pass this way. Man, this is great news. The road's open. This is an opportunity for us to now be able to travel through. You know, when you look at the story very closely, though, it says they were afraid. And do you know what they asked Jesus to do? Leave. You need to depart. Now, you would think that after Jesus had come up with the perfect solution, here's a man now that can be a productive citizen in your community. He has opened up a passage where you can now freely come and go. I can understand maybe a disgruntled farmer losing his pigs. But it's a one-on-one for everybody. Jesus, you need to leave. Folks, it's important to point out that Jesus didn't deny the request of the demonic man. He did everyone a favor. The citizens of that territory are now able to experience peace. The man is now in his right mind and free from torment. And you would think that they would just make Jesus mayor of the town after something like that. At least name a day after him. But nothing like that. Jesus continues his journey, as we see in Mark chapter 5 and verse 21. There is a man who approaches Jesus as he returns to Galilee. We see in Mark chapter 5 and verse 21 that Jesus once again crosses the Sea of Galilee. And there along the Galilean shore, as Luke depicts it, there is a multitude of people gathered together, and according to Luke's account, they welcomed him and they were waiting for him. Quite different on the other side of the seashore, now, wasn't it? Or the other side of the lake, wasn't it? You've got demons welcoming you over here, and you've got people who are waiting to see you, Jesus. We've been looking for you. We've been waiting on your return. What does that tell you? Friends, that tells me that even though Jesus never said no to helping others, there are others who say no to Jesus. Folks, I want you to understand something. Not everyone is going to welcome you under the roof. Not everyone is going to approve of your message and your mission. And of course, your message and your mission is his message. It's his mission. To that, Jesus would declare in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 14 to his very own disciples, "If they will not receive you, if they will not hear your message, depart that house, depart that city, and shake the dust from your feet." There's other opportunities out there. There are others who may listen. You need to move on. So this is refreshing to see that Jesus was anticipated and welcomed by the multitudes who wanted to see him. And one of those individuals is a ruler of the synagogue, Jairus. Let's read in Mark chapter 5 and verse 21, and I want you to see what Mark records for us with regards to this encounter with Christ. It says, "When Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him. He was by the sea, and behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. He begged him earnestly, saying, 'My little daughter, she lies at the point of death. Come, lay your hands on her, that she may be healed. She'll live.' So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him." What did we learn about this man, Jairus? Well, he's a ruler of the synagogue. What's a ruler of the synagogue? He's the administrator of what goes on in the synagogue. He oversees things. He's responsible for the buildings and the grounds. He's responsible with regards to the worship. Who's singing? Who's leading the singing? Who's doing prayers? Who's speaking? Who's teaching? That's his job. That's what he does. Now, what does that tell you about him? It tells me he's a pretty responsible individual. He's a man of detail. That's what it tells me. He's reliable. He's trustworthy. He's dependable. But do you know what else we learn about him? He's a dad. He's a father. And just like any dad who loves his babies, he'll do anything for them. He'll provide for them. He will protect them. And although our children look at us at times, Dad, as being Superman or Grandpa or Great-Grandpa, I've got to continue that, as being Superman, I want you to know that dear old Dad can't always protect his children from every dreaded disease and every heartache that life throws at him. Just can't. Just can't. We try, but we just can't. And this is the third thing that we learn about him. His little girl, his only daughter, is at the point of death. We don't know exactly why. We're not told why. We're just simply told that her condition is critical. She is at the point of death. She is at death's door. You know, it pains us to see our loved ones suffer, doesn't it? Especially it pains us when we know that their condition is critical, even fatal. Oh, what we wouldn't do to change places with them. If possible, we would trade heartaches. We would trade their pain in a split second and never bat an eye. This father was in such a condition. His only hope, was Jesus. That's it. Some way, somehow, he had heard that the great physician was nearby. And we see Jairus wasting no time in rushing to Jesus with a hope and a prayer for a miracle. But time was of the essence. Jesus, you must hurry back. She's at the point of death. Time is critical. Seconds matter. But there are two things to consider. First, would Jesus oblige? He could say no. We know better because when we look at Mark chapter 5 and verse 24, we see Jesus went with him. He didn't say no. You know what we don't see? We don't see Jesus say no. No, she's too far gone. There's nothing I can do. There's nothing that can be done at this point. You've heard that before, probably. I have too. No, she made some poor choices. And these are the consequences of it. No, I'm too busy. Friends, we don't see Jesus saying no. We see others in the Scripture saying no, though. Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 29, when Jesus gives us that parable, we call it the Good Samaritan. When that man was on that road from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he was beaten up, left for dead on that road, and two men that would shock you, that would surprise you, who said no, a priest and a Levite, looked at this poor soul, and for whatever reason, passed by on the other side and said, no. No. Are we saying no? Now, I realize that we are not miracle workers. But if the closest thing that we can get to a miracle is showing someone kindness, and what it means to be like Jesus, friends, we best be doing it. Do you know why? As we have opportunity, let us do good unto all, Paul says. Galatians 6:10. There is another matter to consider. As a matter of fact, we'll address this lesson tonight. If the Lord lets us live that long, or if he decides to return, I'm good with that too, Roger. That's all right. But tonight's sermon is entitled, Pardon the Interruption. Remember, seconds matter. And Jesus was interrupted. Jairus was interrupted on their way back home. We'll talk about that tonight. But you know, in this situation, a situation like this one, friends, the last thing that you want to hear, I've got bad news. I've got bad news. Jesus and Jairus had both received the bad news together. According to Mark chapter 5, verse 35, there were some who came from Jairus' home and said, leave the teacher alone. She's gone. That's bad news. You've heard the bad news before, haven't you? You've gotten that before. You remember where you were. You remember what you were doing. You remember how you felt. I do. I know exactly where I was. I remember the word, she's gone. I remember the oxygen leaving the lungs, going numb, shocked, paralyzed. You know the feeling. Jairus knew that feeling. And that is why when Jesus looked at him, you see Jesus saying, hold on. Don't fear. Only believe. That's what he tells him. Jesus saw that moment that you've experienced and I have experienced. Hang on. Don't lose hope. You just believe. It was at this point that Jesus allowed only Peter, James, and John to follow him into Jairus' home. When they arrived, there was a multitude of people gathered together to greet the grieving father. It's a scene that most of us have witnessed perhaps with our dear loved one dying at home or in a hospital or in hospice. There's no laughter. There's no joy. The little girl has died way too soon, 12 years old. But then Jesus' question to them on this day of gloom and doom, why are you so sad? Why are you sorrowful? The scriptures tell us when he mentioned that the little girl isn't dead, she's merely sleeping. That they ridiculed him. You know what that means? They ridiculed him. They made fun of him. Have you lost your mind? You're crazier than those lunatics on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. She's dead. We know what dead looks like. Jesus puts everyone out of the house. He enters the room where the dead girl is lying. All eyes are on him. All faith is placed in him. He takes her by the hand and he utters three powerful words. Little girl, arise. And then we come to Mark chapter 5 and verse 42. Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age. And they were overcome with great amazement. The miracle was real. This man Jesus was and he is real. And he never ever said no to an opportunity to be a blessing to others. Do you know that? Now how about you and how about me? Friends, I pray that we are never too busy, too proud, too far removed from the needs of others to show them Jesus. No, we're not. Miracle workers, the next great miracle that will take place is when the Lord comes back and he takes us to heaven. And I'm looking forward to that day. And I hope that you are too. Are you ready? Are you prepared for it? Are you prepared to go home and be with the Lord? Are you prepared to live for Jesus, look like Jesus, behave like Jesus? Say yes to the opportunities that are before you to serve and show the world Jesus. I want to encourage you this morning, friend, if you've not obeyed the gospel, that you do so before it's too late. You come forward with a penitent heart, a mouth willing to confess Jesus Christ, to be baptized into Christ for the remission, the forgiveness of your sins, and live for Jesus. Maybe you've done that, and you strayed in your love and your world and your dedication unto the Lord. Maybe this is a time when your faith is so weak, and you just need the prayers of the church. You need encouragement. You need the Lord's help. He's waiting, we're waiting. Please come forward as together we stand and we sing.